Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com, prayerprescriptions.com, and author of the Prayer Prescription series and podcast creator of Kate Loving's Prayer Podcast. This evening, Astrology Astrologer is joining me to discuss the chart of Jane O'Meara Sanders. And Jane is Feel the Burn, Bernie Sanders' wife and life partner. By now, I hope you are all familiar with Bernie Sanders, who is running for president of the United States. Joining me now is my lovely Sheila Odette, Astrology's Astrologer. Hello, dear Sheila.
Hello, dear Kate. It's a beautiful night, and I'm going to do Jane Sanders. She's a number 11, you know, soul. She's a master number. She really is. The women, I'm so interested in these women that are married to these men, because any one of these women are somebody that you would vote for. You know, they're just... But the 11 is a master number, and she's, very inspirational, and she's supposed to be exceptionally spiritual. And all of the good, and she has great, great energy. And she was, founder and president of Burlington College. And she was, did you know that? PhD in leadership and policy, and and they have four children. And you know that, of course, I guess, but I'm still saying it. She does all that other stuff in her spare time, right?
Yeah.
Besides having
I like what she did when Bernie Sanders was mayor of Burlington, Vermont. I really like what she did for children's programs. She's really a child advocate, and has created all these wonderful programs. And I think she was also a foster mom and had fostered many children over the years. But her programs as taking children off the street and creating art and drama and music and radio programs and all that kind of stuff for kids, that I think is just amazing.
And the chart is just amazing, because in the chart, of course, there is a finger of God, which is the 250-degree aspects with a sextile connecting them, which makes a point in the chart to something. And that point in the chart, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Good. That point in the chart is to the North Node in Pisces. Now, you know, I'm really very interested in the nodes, because I'm working on a whole thing around the nodes, around basically as a metaphor, or if I can put it in context when I say the nodes in the chart. Everybody has an opposition in their chart, one opposition if they don't have any other, and that would be the nodes. And a lot of times they say that the south node is the last lifetime and the north node is this lifetime. And, of course, I wanted to take that further. So I really feel that the south node is when you go off into a tragedy or something something that knocks you off the road, or something that takes you out of the ordinary life, something, you know, that really knocks your socks off and steers you in another way. Or if you're saying, like, when Dorothy lands in Wonderland, and that's symbolized by everything turning to color, and all of the characters are bigger than life and very dramatic. Or when Alice goes down the rabbit hole, and, you know, again, everything becomes exaggerated. So the South mm-hmm. Node for me is that kind of thing, and the North Node is the hook in. And so the South Node represents those red shoes that are sticking up underneath the house when Dorothy lands. And that mm-hmm. means, and they symbolize, so to speak, wickedness or negativity. But unless we are really approached by negativity or that kind of thing, we just go along in our ordinary way, and we don't really face the dark parts of ourselves. So the symbolic thing of the witch with those shoes is that Dorothy gets those shoes on her feet, which basically represent love in the face of evil. But then mm-hmm. the North Node represents hooking it into when you come back. So Jane Sanders, I'll just say Jane because, hey, she has the South Node in Virgo and the North Node in Pisces. Now, this yod, which is called the Finger of God, or we will say represents Glenda the Good Witch, okay, whatever way we want to put that, means that she is bringing information. Virgo represents mental, physical, spiritual, and mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual, with the M turning in. And that's the sign mm-hmm. of the Holy Mother, really. But mm-hmm. and then she's bringing it back through the North Node to Pisces. Now, what you just said, Kate, was all the things that she does, all of the, you know, the children and foster and children's programs and, you know, all of the things that she's brought to bring here to Earth. And that North Node in Pisces is in the 12th house. So, mm-hmm. and I would say in this chart, not everything has been rosy, okay? Because we're dealing here, you know, when everybody talks about their sacred geometry, and that's what, you know, I'm so interested in sacred geometry right now, because it, in our charts is when we look at our own natal chart, we are looking at our personal sacred geometry. So if yes. you take, there's squares and there's trines and there's sextiles, and if you really open the box of the square up and you really look at the sacred geometry of it, you have a cross. So you take the sides down and lay them out, right? And lay yes. them down, and then you take the two and you flop them out. So then you have the cross. And that cross is really symbolic of the kind of boxes and the kind of things that we get into that really, really mess us up in the chart, but they make us stronger. And if we get through it and we live through it, then we're stronger and wiser, and we survive mm-hmm. it, and we don't become a victim of it. We become a hero of it, and that's what Pisces mm-hmm. is. Whether you become a victim or a hero, the two sides of Pisces. So she has this North Node in Pisces in the 12th house, which means basically when it's in the 12th house, it's even a mystery to the human being what they're here for. Now, what I'm really interested in, the fact that her sun, which I started with here, the sun with the dot in the center, which is where you're, out of 360 degrees of the zodiac, where you are located on that, is 12 degrees of Capricorn, 31. So it's 12 and a half degrees of Capricorn. Now, Capricorn is such an interesting sign because Capricorns, you know, are very, very creative people. Lucille mm-hmm. Ball was a Capricorn. Elvis Presley was a Capricorn. And Capricorns, you know, have the ancient woman. And I did David Bowie's chart because, man, I was a big fan, still am a big fan, and he just passed on. But he passed on a few, you know, his birthday was January the 8th. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So that makes him 17 degrees of Capricorn. So now
yeah.
And you know what an innovator he was. I mean, he just was off the charts with
Can you imagine having an album released and 3 days later dying? I mean, hardly anybody I know of has ever done that. I just think that that is just such an act of service, you know.
And the video, have you seen the video?
I haven't. I definitely will, though.
With a white bandage around his eyes and like two mm-hmm. plugs in his eyes. They look like mm-hmm. plugs. And he's singing. The whole thing is about going over to the other side. And
oh, my God, isn't that beautiful?
In the end, he goes through the closet door, just like through the closet door and shuts the closet door. Oh, my God, I just thought, oh, my God,
yeah.
How brilliant is that? I mean,
yeah,
that's
really, really awesome.
And you know what
bringing death out of the closet, right? I mean, he goes into a closet. He brings it out
yeah.
of the closet.
And at that moment, I thought, you know, with Capricorns and Capricorns being so talented and all, I just thought, I wonder if the Capricorn group or the Capricorn energy form is about going back to get more information. I mean,
yes.
You know, going back because, okay, I've brought all the information from past lifetimes to this lifetime that I have. And you have to admit that Elvis Presley was an innovator. Before Michael Jackson or anyone, he is the beginner of the dance. They wouldn't even show him from waist down on Ed Sullivan,
yes.
Remember in the beginning?
Yes.
So he was, and Michael Jackson, it's like they and, of course, Michael Jackson is a Virgo, though, but it's like creating this new kind of tradition, but really it's not. It's, you know, it's just bringing more information in. So when I
mm-hmm.
look with Jane Sanders, she has Mercury in Capricorn, the Sun in Capricorn, Ceres in Capricorn, and Venus in Capricorn, and Pallas
mm-hmm.
in Capricorn. And the midheaven here in Capricorn. So we are talking here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things in Capricorn. And Capricorn, if you really take it apart, it looks like Aries, the one part of it. And then it curls, you know, and it looks like Leo. So it's really a planting sign. Because Aries is a planting sign where you plant stuff,
mm-hmm.
plants
mm-hmm.
and they grow. And so I think that Capricorn plants ancient information. It brings information
mm-hmm.
back and replants it or brings things up that have been forgotten. So
mm-hmm.
she has the Sun at 12 degrees of Capricorn, which you know, works really well with Bernie Sanders because he has the Moon in Aries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That Moon in Aries, and he has Mars in Aries. So she can bring the ancient information and bringing it back over and over again, and he can sprout it. He can make it whole. He can bring it up. He waters it for her. He waters it. He really has, those two are soulmates, according to my information on this chart, okay? And
yes.
Well,
what is what exactly is her date of birth?
January the 3rd, 1951. Brooklyn,
okay.
New York. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Bernie's is September the 8th, 1941.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In New York, New York. So we got a lot of New York here. Okay. Got a lot of New York here. Which I love New York. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so she also, well, the Mercury in Capricorn is really interesting because her Mercury in Capricorn is retrograde, which, you know, Mercury is right now. It's retrograde right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're dealing right now with with Mercury retrograde, and I don't know if any of the audience, but a lot of stuff is coming back. Mercury is in Capricorn right now, and it's retrograde, and it doesn't go direct till the 26th. And it goes direct at 14 degrees of Capricorn. So if anybody wants to know that. So, and I don't work with Capricorn the way a lot of astrologers, I'm not saying they're wrong, I'm just saying I don't work with it. I work with it in a way, I work with the Capricorn stuff as things that come up that you haven't dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, you know, a lot of astrologers and a lot of people go, a lot of my friends that are astrologers say, oh, Mercury's retrograde, I can't sign a new contract, I can't do this, I can't make that commitment, I can't. Well, my God, every time Mercury goes retrograde, the world would have to stop if you go by that. It's really because, you know, Mercury retrograde simply means that you should be more internal. You should simply meditate more. And when Mercury is retrograde in Capricorn, it means where is the government going? You know, even though, I will say this, even though Donald Trump is an asshole, there are things, well, hey, there are things.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
You know,
I'll agree to that.
There's positive and the negative. He's bringing up things that a lot of people have buried, that, you know, they see through these rose-colored glasses about. I don't agree with his solution, not at all, okay? But the problems are still there. So, but this it's interesting that right now I am doing her chart, and he is, and Bernie is running for president, and her Mercury is, when you look at it, something retrograde in a sign, and I go by the planets as actors, and the sign they're in is the costume they're wearing. And the house that they're in the basic chart is where they stage themselves. So her Mercury in Capricorn that is retrograde is in the ninth house. The ninth house for me is right on the gestation point. And her gestation point, which is the ninth house cusp, which that I work with that too, it means basically that that is in Sagittarius. So she is here. A definition of her chart is to bring all the ideas and old structures and like the Akasha records and old things back in and present them now to forward the Sagittarius energy. In other words, I mean, there's a song called Everything Old is New Again.
Right.
I forget his name. What is his name? I can't remember his name. I love him and I can't remember his name. I hate that. Anyway, that's one of his songs that I always love. That song, "Everything Old Is New Again," but with it retrograde right now, that's working right on top of this ninth house thing, this ninth house environment, which is spiritual. Which means when you have Mercury in the ninth house, you are a channel for the gods. You have information that can channel right back down through you. Now, the sun for me in a chart as is if somebody says, oh, wow, you're a Capricorn, or, oh, wow, you're a Pisces. You are not. I firmly believe that the circle with the dot in the middle is what we are here. Your sun sign in your chart is what the top of the mount. That's what we're going for. Everything else in the chart is how to get there. So the moon, for me, is the environment that we put, because the moon changes every 2.5 years. It moves very rapidly. And we put ourselves in different environments to learn different things. But the natal environment where the moon is our original environment. And interestingly enough, her moon is in 14 degrees of Scorpio 56, which to round it out, 15 degrees of Scorpio, 15 degrees of the fixed sign, and 0 degrees of the Aries side on the Uranian wheel are the most powerful. It's the most powerful place in the zodiac. It's just it's a fixed. And Scorpio goes very deep. So here we have this backup of the environment around someone that has ancient memory, and so that means even in the past lifetime's environment, she was very influential in going very, very deep into information and records and being a change artist in things. So, mm-hmm. And that moon is in the seventh house. Now, not only that, she's a mystic because she has a mystic rectangle in this chart. And mystic, you know what a mystic rectangle is? It's two trines with sextiles connecting them on either side. So it looks like a long rectangle, okay? You don't find them mm-hmm. a lot. And she has it to the Venus, Sun, Moon. She has that to the light. And Vesta is the other part of it. And Vesta is when you see them in the Olympics, when they go up the stairs after they take the flame all around the world, then they hand it off to different heroes or different leaders, and then they go up the steps to the top and light the flame for the Olympics. That's what Vesta is. So she has Vesta rising in her chart in Taurus, which means she is determined when she takes on something, determined to get it done. Then the other part of it is Uranus in Cancer retrograde. Now, Uranus in Cancer is, you know, of course, everybody that was born around that time has Uranus in Cancer. When you look at the outer planets, it's the placement in the chart that really counts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So this is in the third house. And that is, how do I present the information? You know, people say and do what works. And even if it's a negative thing, they it gets what they want as children, they will continue on with that as adults. And that's mm-hmm. why you go, why is that woman or man always mad? Why are they always yelling? Why? Because it works. If everybody mm-hmm. turned mm-hmm. around and walked away from them, it wouldn't work. It does mm-hmm. work. So she has Uranus in Cancer here, and it's retrograde, so it's very subjective. So you can be looking at this woman, and she can be talking to you, and there may be, like, lightning going off inside of her, and you would never know it. You would
mm-hmm,
never know it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just lightning of emotion. That's lightning of information, getting information from people, any kind of information, all kinds of things like that. She is like a human. She takes things in, you know, and processes things. So she wouldn't be someone that would go into combat with you right away. She would
mm-hmm.
she would be very quiet and get a lot of information. I saw that in the new movie about Mother Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous movie. Letters. The point was when she was trying to get out to work with people. I mean, I didn't know. I learned a lot about nuns in that movie, that they aren't allowed to go outside in certain orders. Their job
mm-hmm.
is just to pray. That's all their job is, to pray. And what Mother Teresa
mm-hmm.
was telling was to go out in the street and pick up the people that were dying and the children that were starving. So to get out of the convent, she had to go through a lot. She had to write to the archbishop. She had to do all that. She never raised her voice to me. The mother
mm-hmm.
superior said to her, "You are not allowed to do this." And she said, "But God told me to do it." Never raised her voice. I thought,
mm-hmm.
wow. And each step that she took, then she had to come back in a year, went to the archbishop again. That's that tenacious thing. God told me I'm to stay out here. Then she needed a place for people to go to die. And she went to this man and asked, and he said, "Well, why do you want to do that? They're dying." She said, "Because everybody deserves a reverent death. Everybody deserves to be cared for and nurtured and loved before they die." It was an incredible speech. I'm not giving it, you know. But that meant that eventually Mother Teresa started her own order, the order, you know, her own order where the nuns went out on the street. And she was the one that
mm-hmm.
did that. Mm-hmm. And that's why the blue trim around her and that blue trim that she wore, that was mm-hmm. a special order of nuns. But it's that what I'm talking about is that I'm making an example of that because it's that tenacious thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, she didn't mm-hmm. want to accept the peace prize. She didn't want to accept that. And the only way they got her to accept it was that they told her that by her becoming famous, that would mean that these chapters would be started all over the world. And that's how they got her up there to accept that.
Yeah.
So she's some woman. I mean, and I want to tell you this, too. I know I'm a little off the subject here, but her and Diana's charts are very similar, you know? And Diana, they died just a few months from each other, Princess Diana and Mother Teresa.
Yes,
so,
yes.
They were from the same order, I think. They were from the same. Isn't that interesting? I thought that was interesting.
Yes. Yes,
so,
it is. Oh, my gosh. So many connections, right?
Yes, connections.
So let me just say, anybody just tuning in, we are discussing the chart of Jane O'Mara Sanders, who is Bernie Sanders' wife. So she is going to be quite a force, and because I think he's winning. I don't know if you know that or not, but the polls are showing that he's surging ahead of Hillary Clinton in Iowa and New Hampshire, which means that if he takes those two states, there's so much energy in his campaign, first of all. And people are excited by the whole politics as usual, the corporate politician getting money out of politics is now a popular idea, something he's been ranting and raving about for the last 30 years. And I think more than anyone, he must be really blown away by this amazing energy. So did you see Jane Sanders on Morning Joe?
No. Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Did you?
No, I did not.
Well, I don't know why they brought him on, but he did, you know, something, I guess because he's surging in the polls, they decided to pay some attention to him. And Jane was on, too, and she was just really, they say that she will bring a lot to his fiery nature, which probably has a lot to do with his moon in Aries.
Well, wow, you just, that little speech there was, that last sentence was astrology, you know.
Of course.
I mean, of course, you're funny. He has a yacht to the moon. He has a yacht to the moon, Mars, his moon, Mars conjunction in Aries. He has a yacht to that. And he also, that goes to his sun node and Neptune are on Virgo. Now, what I started mm-hmm. said about Virgo, when you see a spiritual soul connection, you look at the nodes. Her nodes mm-hmm. are the south node in Virgo and the north node in Pisces. His nodes are the south node in Pisces and the north node in Virgo. So that's really pretty interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, so they can, for both of them, they can be channels of bringing the information back to each other. But the other thing mm-hmm. about that is the fact that they will hear it, the other partner, the soul partner
yes.
will hear it. There will be not conflict around it. It will be information that will be used because the information between these two charts is so powerful that basically it needs two people. And the
mm-hmm.
other thing is, I always go by when, you know, you're working with tarot or anything, someone asked me about the court cards. It's always the queen is always behind the king, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you
mm-hmm.
have to really look at the queen way more carefully than a lot of people do in the tarot cards. Because it means basically you may see the king of emotions. Then if you get the queen of emotions, You can notice that queen, you know, the queen has the king's fears. Like Michelle Obama
mm-hmm.
has, and you can tell that Barack really admires her, but you know that she has his ears and his respect. I mean, that's
yes.
a big, big, big thing. And so I just wanted to say that. So, but their nodes are they are equal. They both have stalliums in the chart. They both have yods. Actually, Bernie does not have a mystic rectangle as Jane does. And I always like the name Jane. You know, Jane Goodall, Jane Fonda.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And but her spiritual number is an 11. And 11 are really old souls, you know. I feel that you can't reduce an 11. And they're into, it's a really high major life path number. And it seems that this woman is really a very, you know, high spiritual being. And Bernie also has Saturn in Taurus and Uranus at 0 degrees of Gemini. I can't really speak to that because I was 1941 is when that was happening, Saturn in Taurus and Uranus in Gemini. And it means maybe sticking in some places too long, okay? And then all of a sudden something happens and just jolts you halfway across the planet, all right? So something struck him really hard. You would know more about that than me, that made him make this campaign for president of the United States. I mean, he really was, really came alive here around this. It's really something that he feels that is totally needed, you know?
Yeah, well, you figure if you can't get money out of politics, our whole and of course it's almost too late, that our whole democracy will collapse, and it's collapsing. Have you seen The Big Short?
I didn't hear the end of that, honey.
Have you seen the movie The Big Short?
No, I did not see that yet.
Well, my God, you have to see that to understand why he's doing what he's doing. The big, you know, in the 2008 crash, we basically are there. The banks that were too big to fail now are bigger than they've ever been before since.
Right.
And as Bernie Sanders says, and Elizabeth Warren, there's just a matter of time that we're going to have another collapse. But I don't really think that the American public is going to stand for bailing out the banks again. I don't think we're going to stand for it. I mean, because we didn't understand what was going on. But now we do, Bernie has actually explained it to us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's a handful of men that figured that out. You know?
Well, you really have to see that movie. Yeah.
It's the second time today. I was on the phone to Roswell, and they told me to go see it, too.
And it really is a good, people can understand, and I think people do understand that money, first of all, that Bernie isn't for sale. Barack Obama and every other president before him have all been for sale. They're all invested. They've all taken money from, and Hillary Clinton have taken huge sums of money from arms deals, from pharmaceutical, from the insurance companies, not to mention Wall Street. And then they can't fulfill any of their promises because they are beholden to these powers. Not to mention Citizens United, which has put all that money in politics to begin with. That Supreme Court decision called Citizens United, which the thing is, Bernie doesn't care about the powers that be. That's what makes him so attractive to especially the young people. And of course, those of us who never who are young at heart, you know, we've been pissed off for years. So as far as I'm concerned, he speaks to all of us. Anybody who's attracted to him, he speaks to the frustration that we've been feeling since the 1960s, and watching all of this crap go down since those assassinations. I think that affected my generation, and undoubtedly Jane Sanders was affected by those assassinations very deeply because we were alive at the time and we saw how people who really were bringing a change to America in the form of John Kennedy, his brother Bobby, Martin Luther King, and these people represented a great amount of passion within our own souls, and it was just banished by those assassin bullets. That is just something that none of us have ever forgotten and can't forget.
Nope. I agree with you. I agree with you.
And so, who would ever think that somebody like Bernie Sanders, who isn't polished, who, you know, that he says what he believes and he says it with great articulation, but he doesn't say the same thing over and over again like people may say or may not say, because he's able to fit in. It's like when they asked him last night, I don't think you saw, you may have not have seen the Democratic Forum, but it was hard but anyway, they asked him, well, you know, how could a Democratic socialist like you live in the White House? And he said, well, it's because it's public housing.
That's funny. He's very funny,
oh my
you
gosh.
Know.
He is very funny. Great sense of humor. Yeah.
So he's extremely funny. So when we're looking at, you know, when you're, and your suggestion about doing the change chart, it's really interesting because looking at the sacred geometry in the chart, she has a mystic rectangle, a yod, and two kites.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of sacred geometry in a chart. And you know who worked with sacred geometry was Mark Edmund Jones. I mean,
mm-hmm.
all of his symbolic stuff that he did with the umbrella and the train and all of the stuff in the chart, which is so fascinating to me. That was all sacred geometry.
Mm-hmm.
So
he
was very much ahead of his time also. And I don't think I have his chart here. I don't know if I do.
Well, you know, we've been talking for a long time, you know, the people in the spiritual community, about a lot of change, this paradigm change, the shift, you know, that Wayne Dyer always talked about.
Yes.
And it seems like there is a tremendous shift going on with people's lives and being drawn to their own spiritual nature and lots more meditation. A lot of things have hit the mainstream. But what really hasn't changed at all is politics. So,
nope.
And you know, you do know that Bernie Sanders is very close friends with Marianne Williamson. She ran for public office. Also, she's a Course in Miracles teacher. But she has a huge following, and she ran for public office in California. Did not win, but she was saying the exact same things that Bernie's saying now. And then since then, she would have any kind of political forum that she was residing over. Since then, Bernie was always the keynote speaker, you know, that kind of thing. And Tom Hartman, too, they're very close. He's very close with Tom Hartman, who's also a spiritual person. So
yeah.
I think that it's really interesting to think that the paradigm shift and this amazing spiritual movement that has been absolutely dormant in politics is going to be moved by Bernie Sanders, really, and by all of us, because he is. Because we're all part of this. It's not like Bernie Sanders is going to win. It's that we're all going to win. We are going to be participating in a democracy where we have a say. So this is very important stuff. Very, very important. And it has to happen, because otherwise nobody will do anything to change anything, because they've taken all that money. They're greedy. It's corporate greed, you know. So,
well,
it's a pivotal moment in politics.
Right, and the other one is Donald Trump, who's just the opposite. So he is just power and a dictator. And
Let's think about this as far as astrology or as far as the paradigm shift. You have an election that took place in the UK and a left-wing or maybe a democratic socialist took office there. And in Canada, Trudeau, very forward-thinking gentleman who is personally greeting the Syrian refugees into his country one by one. So he's a very, you know, very forward-thinking gentleman. And then I think Bernie Sanders would be like – what you're talking about is a collective movement. It's going into the collective unconscious of the planet, that this is part of why you see a Bernie Sanders movement, because it's purely spiritual, it's purely collective unconscious, and it's like the Deus Ex Machina of things that have to happen to create regeneration. You know, we can't continue along these same lines.
No.
And this is what's going on. We won't. As a matter of fact, we won't. It's amazing to see the momentum in his campaign without any major media showing anything to do with it. I don't know if you've been following online, but there's so much creativity that has to do with Bernie Sanders. You know, people are creating rap songs, and last night I saw this hysterical thing called Bongo Bernie, and there's so much. So, like, these kids who the millennials who haven't even voted, this will be their first election, are creating amazing art, and there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of creativity that is helping people to express themselves around this election. That hasn't been broadcast on major media because they've been bought and sold. They're totally bought and sold. It's just amazing to think about.
Yeah. But it's still rising up. It's still being watered. It's still rising up. It's the generation now is ready for that. I mean, they're ready. Talking to any young people, doing young people's charts, they're totally different. They really are. I've noticed it.
Yeah.
In all of them, even like 18 and 19. I did this one who was adopted from South Africa. Mm-hmm. She almost could finish sentences with the chart. I mean, there's a quantum leap. There's a huge
mm-hmm.
leap, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that it's a new paradigm, but it has to do with Steve Jobs and these whole new. And it's interesting to me that Steve Jobs went from Apple over to Pixar, because he did the same thing at Pixar with his movies, you know? His movies,
mm-hmm.
The same kind of, so it shows that no matter where a creative person is or what negative thing happens to get them there, they can create new and beautiful things. And I
yes.
think, you know, it's not building walls and, you know, telling people they can't come into the country and all of those things. That's exclusion, you know. Inclusion is the only thing. Every movie that we ever see, the thing that works is love and inclusion, not a separate individual. But it seems like we don't get that, you know. It's like build more bombs, shoot some more people, get more guns. That's so hard for me to understand. It really is really hard for me to understand.
And
then,
I know.
You look at Bernie Sanders' chart and you see that you have Moon, Mars, and Aries. Think this man would be into aggression and guns and things like that, and he's not.
No.
This whole Moon, Mars, in Aries, of course, it's exalted in its own sign, Mars and Aries, and the yacht is there, but it's the opposition of violence. It's the opposition
yes.
of walls, and it's the opposition of, you know, keeping people out. It's more about conversation and inclusion, and the rap is interesting because you would never think, but the rap is from ancient times when, you know,
mm-hmm.
people, you know, the drums and tapping their feet on the ground, that's
yeah.
how they communicated. And that's the only way they could communicate. And that's what rap and all that has come out of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really neat. So, I mean, he is this Virgo Aries, and she is, of course, Capricorn Scorpio. So they're
mm-hmm,
not the
mm-hmm.
same sun and moon signs, which is really good, I always think. I mean,
yes.
I always think that really works. And I love that he is mental, physical, that his sun is in Virgo, as I told you in the beginning. Each line has a meaning for me, and it's mental, physical, emotional, and the sun and the line that turns in is spiritual. It's a very highly high sign, and it doesn't get it gets that all that credit of criticism where it really shouldn't. The criticism is that they're not being inside themselves, is that they're not being good enough themselves, and they project that out in other people. But it's not about other people. It's not really about other people. So that's so interesting. And then I did want to say a little more about David Bowie, because his moon, he has a Saturn-Moon-Pluto conjunction in Leo. You know that Saturn in Leo, with the moon in Leo, he was a really progressive teacher. He was very progressive when, and his fans stuck by him, the Capricorn, his group of followers stuck by him through everything.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
And he was so, he would, I mean, it was interesting because I was in the theater then, but then you'd see Bowie and he was completely, you know, androgynous. He would, and then all of a sudden he changed. And he would go, is that him? I mean, he was
kind
just,
of a little bit like Michael Jackson in a way, that way.
Yeah, that whole thing. And then I thought it was so neat when he married Iman, the model. They looked so neat together. He has Jupiter in Scorpio. He was, I mean, I don't think that, you know, I have the feeling with this chart in front of me that there is a calling on the other side for, like, Wayne Dyer and David Bowie and these people, that they're going over, there's like a force on the other side that is being built up around this paradigm the same as on this side. I really do. I think, and they're... We're gonna get a surprise in this election. I don't know what the surprise is, but we are going to get a surprise. And
I think that we're seeing it right now. With the Bernie Sanders phenomenon, the feel the burn. I think the surprise could be the youth delivering the election. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I think it's what they got rid of him. I think I think Trump and all of them thought, you know, they were rid of him. I think that whole Hillary laying low and all of that was strategy. And they haven't, Kate. They haven't gotten rid of him. Okay.
Oh, they never will. They won't.
No, they haven't gotten
Sheila,
rid of him.
Tell us how people who are listening can get their charts done by you.
I have an email, Mary, M-A-R-Y, Sheila, S-H-E-I-L-A, Audette, A-U-D-E-T, at gmail.net.
No, gmail.com.
Okay, I'm into these charts, and that just suddenly...
That's okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you can get in touch with me, and I do the charts. I can do them over the phone if you're from far away. I do them over the phone, and then I make a CD, and then I send you the CD of the entire reading so that you can go over it again. And then you can call me if you have questions about the information that has been given around your chart.
Mm-hmm.
So,
awesome.
So, yes. And... That's wonderful.
It really is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So any more questions here around?
No, I'm just excited by the whole thing. I love the fact that he's doing so well and he's tough. You know what I mean? He's tough. I don't know if you've watched anything that a lot of times people kind of cave, you know, under certain questions. And he's like, you can't put a chink in his armor, you know, he's just tough.
You know what he reminds me of? You know those balloons you knock over and come up? That's what he reminds me of.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you those balloons, you hit them and then they come back up again. You know what I mean?
If you look at some of his old interviews, or like sometimes he'll be in Congress, and one time he was, this one conservative guy was referring to homos in the military. And Bernie Sanders got down on him. He says, you know, he just said, kept saying, wait a minute, what did you just say? And he tried to say something else. He pinned him down, and he says, these people have served to their country, and that kind of disrespect and blah, blah, blah. It was just really awesome the way that he has stood up for people, all of us, for so long. And a lot of times he would be screaming into a room. He would do a filibuster, and he'd be there all by himself for 24 hours just talking about the kinds of things he's talking about now. And for some reason, and I don't think it's for some reason, like we were just discussing, the paradigm shift has made the time has come for us to actually see a renaissance in this, in the American political system.
Well,
so that would be my final words here on this subject.
Okay. Well, with the yod, with the finger of God to the moon in Aries and his chart in the fifth house, if he got to be the guiding light of this country, it would be a whole different paradigm. Everything would change. There would be much more compassion, much more inclusiveness, much more love. And I don't say that lightly. That's in the chart. That's here in this chart. And,
well, did you see Barbara Walters interviewing Trump and then Sanders?
I didn't.
Okay, so she said to Trump, what is your word for what describes your, push for the presidency? And he goes, victory. And so she said to Sanders the same question, and he said, compassion.
Oh, wow. Well, there's a big difference between those two words.
Yeah, and between the two, people like to compare the candidacy of both of these men, but there's really nothing, in my opinion. I mean, they seem to be, Trump is stirring up hate, and Sanders is stirring up compassion. And that's about all you can say about that.
Donald Trump's gestation point is Aries, and his Mars is in Leo. He's an egomaniacal maniac. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's just the definition, even if I didn't know whose chart this was. And Mercury Jupiter is a midpoint on his Mars Leo, and that is in the 12th house. People and Pluto in the Leo in the 12th and Mars in Leo in the 12th, people don't even know what they're getting here. I mean, he's cleaning up his act right now. And
I know, he's dangerous. He's like another Heil Hitler type.
Yes. And Moon in Sag, and his south node is in Sagittarius. It's all about victory, and it's all about being the biggest. I mean, he's not, but he's not far from the guy in North Korea in some ways, you know?
Very
scary.
Yeah.
And Uranus is conjunct the sun in Gemini. Do you know what kind of an explosive thing that can be? Of course, you know, you see that with his mouth, the stuff that comes out of his mouth that then he tries to clean up all the time. I mean, it comes out, and then he's trying to, and he has a grand trine in air, so it just flies out. And to come up about Bill Clinton and the sexual thing, I mean, come on, Donald. I mean,
well, sure,
you know,
sure.
It's like the pot calling the kettle black, you know. I mean, come on.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if he were somehow exempt from that kind of activity, it would be one thing. But he has done the same thing, so.
No, he's
pathetic.
Not. I mean, he's not exempt from that kind of behavior. And then he has Saturn, Venus, and Cancer. That's Saturn, Venus, and Cancer means really restrictive kind of rules. And I think we can tell it around his children. I mean, in some ways you can tell that they're, I mean, you did it my way or the highway. And it's not going to be the highway. It's going to be my way. You can see that in you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
the American public is what would be the word? They're allured by fame and popularity and celebrityship. So he's a celebrity. And then I've come to realize that so is Hillary Clinton, a celebrity. So people are starstruck, thing wrong, that somehow they're just perfect. Well, the two of them together are friends. You know, they went, Bill and Hillary went to Trump's wedding. They've been friends for years. He gave huge sums of money to the Clinton Foundation. And that Clinton Foundation is a whole other topic that we will not talk about right now. And, you know, it's like insanity that there's something going on between Trump and Hillary that nobody wants to confront. You know, it's bizarre.
Very bizarre. Hopefully,
yeah,
it's
so,
kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
So,
Yes, it is.
Yes. And, I will go back to my sentence before. I see the population is letting Donald Trump bitch because he's bitching about the things they want to bitch about. But I don't think
mm-hmm.
that they will find him the person with the solution.
Right.
Walls are not the solution. Guns are not the solution. The NRA is not the solution. Please. I mean, if a kid cannot open an aspirin bottle or medicine, what is it that they can just take a safety off a gun like that?
I also started to realize that the Second Amendment to the Constitution is one thing, but the NRA is a huge corporate entity that has lost any kind of meaning. In other words, in my opinion, the NRA, it has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. This is just something that has come into my mind. I mean, the Second Amendment is one thing that we can discuss and realize that it's part of our heritage. But the NRA is nothing but a corporate whores. So there's nothing about the NRA that is redeeming. It has no redeeming faction, no redemption whatsoever.
Thinks this way. But, those guys that wrote the Constitution and everything, it was way back in a different time.
Yeah.
I mean, we were living off the land, and we were hunting our food, and it was a different time. How can you hold those things up? I don't even think those guys would hold these things up in solid, you know?
Yeah, I mean, going out and hunting and creating food for your family is nothing like getting an AK-47 or whatever the modern word for the newest gun is to plow down human beings and churches and everywhere else. I mean, and of course you have you have the problem with mental health and I think a lot of mental illness in our country too. But anyway, I think that Donald Trump isn't going to solve any of these problems. That's for sure.
Well, he's exclusiveness means build walls and do all that, and he's not gonna solve the NRA problem because he's in their pocket. I mean, I don't care what he says about me. He believes the same way, and that's
come to the end of the hour. So let's continue our conversation next month.
All right, Angel. Okay.
I love you.
I love you too, and everybody have a wonderful night, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Bye,
Casey. Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye, honey.
Bye-bye. Love you.